Well, if you would, open your Bibles this morning for just a moment to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, go down to verse 35. And before the trip to Brazil, I was praying. I knew that I'd have an opportunity possibly to preach, possibly to give some devotions. And this was one of the passages that God put on my heart for a devotion on the boat with the team. And I had the opportunity to share this with them, some of this, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And it was exciting to, I knew once I was there, I think it was Tuesday, I gave this devotion, and I already knew by then why God laid this on my heart, because this is the ministry that was going on that whole week and through the ministry there. So Matthew 9, verse 35 and following, familiar passage. I'll read through verse 38. We'll probably pick up a little bit in chapter 10 as well. But Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Let's pray again this morning. Father, as we open your word, God, we're grateful. We're thankful for your truth, for it is the word from your mouth. It has all authority. It is eternal. It has always been, always will be. It'll never fade away or pass away. And it was manifested to us, put on full display through Christ and his life, the living word. And God, manifest it to us today. As we open up this truth, we pray that it would come alive. God, enable me by your power. I am weak physically and intellectually. I just down, lacking, God, but you are able. And so by your Spirit, enable me to preach this as I ought and rightly divide your word. Help my mind and my flow of thought and my speech. And more than all of that, God, I just pray that it would drive into our hearts that these truths would have the effect that you want them to have in each of us and in this church, that we could be faithful to you and do the work that you've called us to do. And so teach us today. Save any among us who may be lost, God. May they not leave here lost. May they leave here born by the power of God and in Christ. And just build up this church, Father. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here the ministry of Christ and Jesus revealing to us really the very reason the church exists, the very reason that he would save us and cleanse us of sin, give us new divine life, and put us in the body of Christ. We are to minister to this world just as Jesus ministered to this lost world. We exist to minister the gospel of Christ. And three things that I want us to see in these verses and on into chapter 10 this morning. And don't worry, I've got very few notes. Probably won't preach as long as I usually do. We've had much going on this morning and should be a shorter message. So don't worry. We'll let the Lord lead us. But three things this morning. Number one, we see the ministry of Christ. The ministry of Christ. What did Jesus do? How did he live? How did he operate his life? How did he function? And we see his ministry. It's there in verse 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And so this is what Jesus did. And we are to walk just as he walked. And so how did he walk? How did Jesus live? Well, Jesus went to where the people were. Wherever they were, that's where Jesus went. All the cities, all the villages, and he taught the truth of God's word. He went, it says, all about the cities, all about the villages. He was traveling, going from here to there. He would teach and preach in their synagogues. He would preach the gospel of the kingdom, and then he would minister to their needs. He was healing every sickness and disease among the people. His power was on full display through those miracles and those healings. But Jesus got down to where people were. He went to where they were, and He got down to where people were, where they were hurting, where they were struggling, where they were suffering, and He ministered to their needs. He was kind to people. He was loving toward people. He would touch people that others would snob or wouldn't even come close to. Jesus would kneel down and touch them and minister to them. And so this is how we need to be. I've seen this very ministry on display this whole past week as I've never seen it before, as I shared a little bit earlier. You know, God did weld this whole team together as one unit, a body of Christ. We were just a mini church there together. Saved souls, and God had gifted each of us for various things. There was a dentist on board, and those who were studying in dentistry. There were veterinarians there, but using those skills and studying to be vets, but using those skills to minister to people and knowledge about health and needs. Doctors on board, physical therapists on boards, and preachers and evangelists and all this on board, students trying to learn, just saved, want to serve Jesus, people searching out their call, what does God want me to do with my life? And so this, we got all on this boat. We had a leader, Dusty, and he, his wife, Corrine, they were great, loved the Lord, just the Spirit of God in them. And he was directing us, and he was well gifted by God to kind of put us together and focus us together on the task at hand, and to help us see we're one unit, and God just blessed with His Spirit. But the boat would pull up that first day at a village, and that's what would happen, this ministry. We would go out into that village, and we would go to the homes, and we would see where people were. Some of them are hurting, and we're praying with those people. We're ministering to those needs. Others would hear about the boat, and they're coming to the boat, and they're having issues, getting medical attention and things being taken care of that way. And the gospel going out, truth going out, sharing Scripture with people, praying with people. And we were being ministered to a lot of ways, much more than we felt like we were being, ministering to others. But God was just loving His people through the church. And then this boat would pick up, and we'd travel at night to another area, remote, and pull up on the shore, and we'd get up, and there we would be at another place to go do it all again. And so I'd never seen the gospel come alive in this day as I have there at this trip. It's almost like you walked into the pages of Jesus and the disciples, and you were just, that's exactly what you were doing, going from village to village, just out sharing the gospel, loving on people, ministering to their needs, helping them however you could. And so this is how we're to be living our lives. This is what Jesus did, and we're to be doing the exact same thing. And so we are to gather as the church. We need this. We would gather on that boat, and we would eat together. It was like Jesus had His disciples 24/7. We were 24/7 together, eating together, praying together, all of this happening, ministering together, all of our issues, everything. We were all one, and we need that. We need the family of the church together, one unit, full of love, full of God, exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and then going out through the week and just ministering wherever we are, whatever we do, as the body of Christ, seeing people, loving people, sharing the gospel, coming back in here, encouraging one another, sharing testimonies, exhorting one another, building one another up, praying for one another, hearing the word. And so this is the ministry. This is what Jesus did. This is what the church is to do. And this is the world's great need. They need to see Christ on display in the world through His people. They need to see the love of Christ and the joy of Christ and their needs met and the gospel go forth. Hear the truth of Christ that alone can save the soul. And so this is our ministry, and this is what we need to be doing. And it is a battle here. It seems like more so here. You know, in those remote areas of Brazil, they don't have much. The houses were much like we saw in Honduras, John. They were just kind of, like we would build a deck, a few 4x4 posts, a deck frame, and then they would have, a house. It's like their houses were not even like most of our sheds. Our sheds were a whole lot nicer than most of their houses are. Open windows, open doors, just wood slats for floors, wood slats for walls. But very simple way of life. They fish the river for food, go out into the forest for food. Not a lot to do. They're very tight-knit community people. Relationships mean a lot. They love one another. Usually there was a leader of a village, and he would kind of order things. And a lot of the villages were just a family of people, you know, great, an elder, a mother, a grandmother, and all of her children and their children, all their children making up a village, maybe a few others who have come in there as well. But to see the love of Christ on display and flowing out, and the needs of these people just slowed them down to where they could love on one another, minister one another. And they were much more reliant on prayer and God to operate, because they didn't have the means we did to just meet a need, to just go to the store or go to the doctor. They had to depend upon God in a greater way than we do. And so to get back there and kind of, as Angela said, get out of the rat race and the rigmarole of, you know, there is this Americanized routine of all that we do, and don't have time for one another, don't have time to slow down, don't have time to be relational, don't have time to love on one another and minister. We need to get back to this, back to this. And so we want to be coming together as God's church and building one another up. And as I said earlier, not just having a time of devotion here and there, but living a life of devotion to Christ everywhere we go. Slowing down. And so this is the true ministry of the church. It was the ministry of Christ. It's the ministry that we experienced there in the Church of Brazil. And it is the ministry that we are to have as well. The second thing we see is the motive of Christ. Verse 36, we see really into the heart of Jesus, into His soul. We see His mercy and His kindness, His tender compassions, His grace. And what moved Him, His motive, what moved Him to go about every day and just exhaust Himself in this work? Verse 36, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful.'" And you just pause right there. Jesus saw the multitudes. Jesus wasn't so busy in life and so busy with His own stuff and all that He had going on. He just zip, 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 passed by people. No, Jesus, His whole life was to minister to someone else. It was all about others. It wasn't about Him. It was always about the other person. For us, it's often mostly about us. I got to do this. I got to go to that. I got to go to work. Got to go here. Got to get this done. It's all inward focused. That's not ministry. That's not walking after. For Jesus, it was all outward focused. It was always to love someone else, to meet someone else's need, to minister to them. Where are they? What do they need? How can I minister to them? He saw people. He saw more than just physical needs. Just the hurt and physical needs of food or clothing, more than just physical needs of healing, but He saw the spiritual need. He saw what was underneath. He was moved with compassion for them. And the word compassion here, it literally speaks of the bowels. It speaks of your gut. And it is literally to be wrenched in your gut. Kind of, we say sometimes, you know, we see something horrific and it makes us sick to our stomach. It kind of grips our gut. And that's how when Jesus looked at the multitudes of people, it wrenched His gut, because He saw their true need. Not just the physical needs, but the spiritual need, that they were bound in sin, that they're lost. They don't know the truth. They don't know God. They don't know the truth of God. They don't know the true way of salvation. There they are living their life. And they're, you know, here in America, wrapped up with the American dream, and they're working for this and working for that, and all of that's going to be dust and ashes, and they don't know God and turned inward, and they're lost and they're scattered, and they have no clue what life is about, or the God who loves them, our Savior who died for them, or the purpose for which He created them. He saw the true need. We can get so busy, we're just living the American dream, and we don't see that true need. We're passing by people, and we're not turned outward, we're just turned inward. But Jesus saw people. Verse 37, it says, "Then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful.'" Let that soak in. the harvest truly is plentiful. This is talking about a spiritual harvest of souls being brought into the kingdom of God. That harvest that God is going to bring in, reaching down and bringing souls into His kingdom, saving souls out of sin and wickedness and snatching them out of the fires of hell and putting them into His kingdom. That harvest is plentiful. It is plentiful. But they must hear the truth. They must have someone love them enough to slow down and see them where they are and minister to their need and compel them to come in. And so, you know, I want us to search our hearts this morning, and I want to ask you, do you see people? I ask myself the same question and have been asking myself that question. Do I really see people? Or am I so busy with life and what I got going on, I just blow by people? And I do. I struggle with that. I can go to Walmart on a mission and I'm not there. I'm not living a life of devotion. I'm there just because I got to get something and get back home so I can take care of my need or whatever it is. But to live your life every moment of every day in fellowship with Christ and to see others and to love them truly, put yourself last and minister to whatever that need is. And much of that need is, it is for Christ. And that to be emulated out of us and flowing out of us, the fragrance of Christ. Do we see people as Christ saw people? And then do we feel about people as Christ felt about people? He was moved with compassion for them. When we see people, does it grip our heart? When we see lost people all around us, does it move us? When we go out to Walmart and people are there in the rat race, do we look at them and does it move our heart to see them as Jesus saw? They're just so many. They don't know the true God. They don't know Christ. They don't see their sin or what Jesus has done or their need, their desperate need to turn to Christ and be saved. They don't know the love of God that He has for them to draw them out to Himself. They're missing the purpose for which God... Do we see the true need? We need to see as Jesus truly sees. As He saw people, we need to see people as the same, in the same way. Thirdly, we see the plan of Christ. The plan of Christ. Jesus being moved with compassion for these multitudes and seeing the true need. He reveals now into chapter 10, the end of chapter 9, His plan for reaching a lost world. This is Jesus' plan for reaching those who are scattered abroad and bringing them into the kingdom. And so he makes a profound statement here. He turns on the light bulb. He shines divine illumination into the heart of His disciples and us today to give us a revelation of truth. Here is the real truth of the situation in this world. Verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. And so this is the truth of the matter. There is a multitude of people who are scattered abroad. There's a multitude of people all around us. We know that they're lost. They don't understand their need for God. They don't know the love of God. They don't understand their sin. They don't understand what Christ did on the cross. So many say they know about God with their lips. They believe some things with their mind. They are not born by His power. They do not live for His purpose. They are not His. They're not in the kingdom. And so the need, the harvest out there is plentiful. But what does Jesus say the problem is? The laborers. The workers are few. Those out there slowing down, living on mission, seeing them as Jesus saw them, loving on them, taking the love of God to them, taking the truth of the gospel to them, compelling them to come into God's house that it may be filled. Those laborers out there doing that work are few. Very few. And this is still the case. It's still the case. After 3 or 4 days of ministry there, I'd met Pastor Yvonne, and he is a local there who God has saved. There's a pretty big Presbyterian church in Manaus, which is the last big city we came to. From Manaus, we got on the boat and went up the Amazon to do remote ministry. But he's actually a pastor from that Presbyterian church in Manaus. I don't know how many pastors they have, 28, 30 pastors. But his ministry is to minister to these churches out in the villages. And he was the closest thing that I've ever seen to an Apostle Paul in this modern day. So you think about Paul and his ministry, that's Pastor Yvonne and his ministry. He's going up and down the Amazon River, and from that river he's going into these communities and he is spreading the gospel. And then there's some believers and they're trying to grow those believers, and then they're trying to get a pastor to lead those believers. And then they're going into other villages where there are churches, and they're trying to build up those pastors and strengthen those pastors and grow those pastors in the word and pray with those pastors and build up those churches. And there are multiple villages, and he just continues to do that. So many villages, he can't get to them all. There's villages on up the river they have never been to. There's villages up the river so far remote they have to take a small team, small supplies. It takes them about 15 days to get there. He went there. He told me a story where they went there. They tried to get here. They tried to get there, much like the Apostle Paul. God was shutting the door. They'd actually lost their motor at one point, and they were praying. They didn't know what they were going to do. They were lacking supplies. Eventually, they rested at this place on the river, and there was a little bitty trail going up, and there was a lady up there. And they went up there and tried to talk to this lady, and there was demonic activity going on. Her husband was a witch doctor, and he was abusive to her, and she was afraid of him, and she had a dream that she needed to go to the river. You need to go to the river. There's men at the river. And so she said, I came here scared to death. I don't know why I'm here. And there was men at the river. And they were able to talk with her, and they were able to go finally find her husband. And after some time, they prayed and prayed and prayed, and those two became believers, and they had to leave. And there was no one there to build them up. No one there to share more truth. They had to go back. They had no more supplies. 15-day visit. They have not yet been able to go back to them. And so they've left them in the hands of God. But when I talked to Pastor Yvonne, I said, what are your needs here? What do I tell the church back home? How can we help you? And he said, it's multifaceted. There's so many things. But he said, the greatest thing we need are laborers, because we can't reach all the villages. There's not enough pastors, and there are not enough people going up to support these churches. We need laborers. And so the need is still great. We need laborers today, even right here. Say, well, there's churches everywhere, but how many are doing this work? How many are living on mission like this? How many are setting aside themselves, or just even on a daily basis, in the midst of the things that you're doing, are you really seeing others and living for others and ministering to their needs in the name of Christ? So this is the work. We need laborers. And so the calling here is pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Verse 38. Jesus commands us to pray. And so when you see that need, and you have the heart of Jesus, and you see you have the compassion of Christ, then it'll move you to pray. If this is the need, and this is where people are, and they desperately need the gospel, and that's their only hope, then it will move our hearts as those who are His to begin to pray that God would send out laborers. God, please save them. God, send out laborers to reach them. And so God commands us to pray for laborers. And I know Pastor Yvonne would want us to pray for him, and that God would send laborers into Brazil and into that region. And so we can pray for them. And we should pray for laborers here as well. Toilers. Just people who exhaust themselves in that work. That's one of the things, I know I'm sharing with you a lot about the trip through this, but one of the things I saw in Pastor Yvonne is someone who just exhausts himself in the work. He came to the boat out of meetings, and he was exhausted. And he was preaching every night and ministering to everyone on the boat and going out and evangelizing every day. And he was just exhausted in the work. And so it was powerful to see, powerful to see. And so we need to be laboring in this work. And so we need to pray. Pray for laborers. And you know, we know the power of prayer. I think we do, at least to some level. I know we know it in our mind. Intellectually, we say we know we need to pray. There's no power without prayer. But if we really believe that, it drives us to pray. And the work is beyond us. The work over there in Brazil is beyond what anyone can do. The work right here around us is beyond what we're able to do. And so we are to pray, because we have no power to bring anyone out of darkness. We have no power to raise the dead to life, the spiritually dead on their way to hell, to life in Christ, to life eternal with God in heaven. We have no power to turn on the light, to move their heart to conviction of sin, to bring them to the knowledge of truth. Only God can do that. And so we are to pray to God. And if we see the need, we will pray. If we see the needs around us, it'll drive us to our needs and to pray that God would do this work through us. And that is one of the things, as Isaac shared, that we saw there was a church that prayed and believed, knew they needed God and depended on God to do everything that they needed done. And I think us, sometimes our prayers are more superficial and maybe they lack some of the heart because we have all of our needs met and we're so busy elsewhere. But if we see the true need, then we'll be desperate for God and His power, because that's the only way this ministry can be accomplished. And so specifically, pray for laborers, but we need God in every aspect of the ministry and in our lives. And then here's the truth that we see, and we'll wrap up with this. If we pray for God to send laborers, and we pray for that fervently, then it will move us to be those laborers. And that's what we see in chapter 10. There, beginning in verse 1, it says, and when, right after this, so he's just said, you need to pray for laborers. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, what did he do? He gave them power. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddaeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaria, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so, as soon as he reveals this need to them and calls them to pray, he says, now you're the laborers. That's why I've called you. That's why I've made you my own, because you are the laborers in this harvest. I'm sending you out. And as he sends us out, he sends us with his divine authority and power. There is no greater authority than the authority of Christ. And that's what we have anywhere we go. Go all the way over to Brazil, to the Amazon jungle, and who created that land? Who created that people group? Who sustains their life? Who alone can bring them to salvation? God. I mean, we are sent with His power, with His authority. And He commands us to go. We are the laborers in this harvest. And so He sends them out into this work, and it is the same for us. He has sent us out into this great work of ministry. We've been studying the book of Acts, and we see that. We see that. They just immediately, the Holy Spirit comes down, they're endued with power, and the church is going out. They're on the move. They are doing this work. They're ministering in the name of Christ. They're healing sickness and disease. They're meeting the needs of the people. They are preaching the gospel with boldness, and God is doing a work. God has entrusted the church with a mission, and this is the work, what we see here. And one of the things that just blew me away more than anything else this past week was to see, like I said, a miniature church, you know, not in one location necessarily, but believers from all these other churches that have come together to be a church for that week, the Church of Christ right there. And to see the giftings and people just going out, and to see the love of that body, it was astonishing. That's what struck me more than anything else, to see God weld a body of Christ together. It reminded me of Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, where it talks about striving together for the faith of the gospel. Everyone there had the same heart. They had the same hunger, God, use me. The same thirst, Christ. The same desire to see souls saved, and same spirit, same mind, same God, same Savior, same baptism, same gospel. And just welded together, serving, exhausting ourselves, just going out, doing this work. That's how every church should be. And the joy of God was just overflowing that place, overflowing every person. I think because we get so wrapped up in our own lives, we miss this purpose. Because we're not doing this faithfully as we ought, we're missing the joy of God and the things that God would do. Because we're not as dependent as we ought to be. We don't pray like we ought. We don't see the power of God like we would. But God wants to get us back here. And so my heart as I come back is, God, please, please don't let the things you've shown me and taught me fall by the wayside. But cultivate that here in us. Cultivate these things in me and in this church that we could grow to be more like Christ and more useful to you in this world. And I pray that some sparks of revival would take hold through this. I really do. This is how we need to be. This is what we need to do. I'm so grateful that Isaac got to go, because some of the things that I saw this week, I wished I could have saw 20 years ago. And I'm so grateful Isaac got to see him at his young age, as he's just now getting into the ministry and seeking out God's will. And I'm also grateful I got to be there with him, because he could have come back and I would have said, Isaac, how did it go? And he would have said, well, I can tell you, but I wish you would have been there to see it. And the same for us with you. If I could, I'd take every one of you there next year. And hopefully that'll be the hope. I hope to get another team together. I hope to get us back there. Hopefully we can fill the whole boat. There's only so many slots. I don't know how many it holds. But a lot of you are nurses. A lot of you, even if you think, well, I don't know what I would do, God can use you. And He will use you. You can minister right there on the boat. You don't even have to leave the boat. Don't have to go up the hills into the villages or anything. If you're able to do that, fine. But you stay and minister right there on the boat, and God can use you. So maybe in the future, you know, I'm just praying maybe through the other sister churches as well, that God would raise up a whole team and we could go over there and do this together, and through this, God, just ignite a fire here and maybe revival. So I want to ask us to stand this morning. And we're going to have a time of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, you come this morning. Let God search you and where you are before Him. If you need to get this fire back in your heart, or get your life focused back on the reason that He saved you and why you're here, you come this morning. If you need prayer this morning, want someone to pray with you, encourage you, help you as you pray alongside of you, come to me or someone else. Let us know that. We would love to pray with you. If you need to be saved this morning, you've never truly come to saving faith in Christ, and God is drawing you to Christ, and you know you need to be saved, come this morning. Surrender yourself to Christ. He will save you right where you are. Any other need this morning, you come. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Brendan Paul's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. And as we sing, you come and respond to God. Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You for this whole past week. It is hard to come back home and try to convey everything that we've experienced. But I pray by the power of Your Spirit, the church would get a sense of what You've done there. Even that would just flow out of us, a fragrance, God, of Your work there, and the Spirit of God that we've seen and experienced would just flow into this body of Christ, and they would sense that, Lord. I pray that You would get our eyes off the world, even off of ourselves, Lord. I know in my own heart and life, I've often been self-centered, self-focused, covetous, lots of the things of the world that we so often live for and want to have. And God, there's so much that's greater than all of these. And it's Your work. It's the reason for which You saved us. And so God, awaken us. Help us to see as Jesus sees. Help us to see people like He sees people. Help us to feel about people in ministry as He truly feels, God, and help us to do as Jesus truly did. And just help us in this time together, Lord. Have Your will and way in each of us is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.